The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
I'm Dave Bittinger, and this is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG for June 14th. Good evening, and thanks for tuning in. You can catch this program nightly between 6:30 and 7 p.m., re-aired at 10 and again at 2 a.m., and we'll have weekend coverage when it seems prudent to do so. Tonight, one longtime Igigik set netter tells us when this run will get here.
It's going to be early, probably a week early. Looks like to me just the water temp and how many fish that I've gotten early.
We'll check in on the Pacific side of the peninsula fisheries, which just caught a whole lot of surprise pinks.
Pinks are definitely coming in early, and I've got some sort of anecdotal reports that some of them are pretty good-sized pinks.
Those stories, plus a trip around a fully Wi-Fi-equipped boatyard in Naknek, after a look at today's numbers. Nooshogak River counts from yesterday. 1,700 kings went past the sonar, bringing the season total to 8,200. 1,400 sockeye went past, season total 6,100. The Wood River Tower started counting today at 4 p.m., first data expected from that tomorrow morning. 6,800 were counted as escapement in the Igigik River Monday. The harvest there was 6,100 from 6,100 sockeye from 84 deliveries. The Agushik catch after two openers is still confidential. Anecdotal reports, again unofficial, is that set netters were delivering a couple hundred pounds each. Subsistence fisherman Moses John Sr. tells KDLG he has had no problems catching his 100 reds, and they came in a nice mix of sizes. He tells us he's back in Manicotic today, and the reds are drying in the smokehouse. Good work. About 9,000 sockeye are on the books in Bristol Bay so far this season, just 29.5 million more to go. Port Moeller fished again today, but there was not much. 5 total in the 4.5 and 17 in the 5 and an 1/8-inch mesh nets. Two-thirds of the catch was from stations 2 and 4. Station 6 still has no fish to report after 3 days' effort. Stations 8, 10, and 12 have had just a few sockeye in the nets. Dr. Scott Rayburn will be joining us for more on how to interpret the data from the Port Moeller test fishery Thursday on this program. The Chignik Weir counted just 2,800 sockeye Monday. Total count this season, 95,000. Saners there harvested 24,000 reds yesterday. Season total now 125,000. Area M's South Peninsula districts saw an interesting bump on Monday. A total of 117,000 sockeye were harvested. And 186,000 pinks, mostly out of South Unimak and the Shumagin Islands. Season total for the South Peninsula now 400,000 reds and 300,000 pinks. Area Management Biologist Lisa Fox joins us in a moment for more. On the Bering Sea side of Area M, North Peninsula harvest is still low, with just 5,500 sockeye caught out of Nelson Lagoon so far this season. Reminder, you can keep in touch with us by email, fish@kdlg.org. or any of our first names, Dave, Molly, Hannah, Shaylin, at kdlg.org. Or give us a call here at the station, 842-5281. We want to hear from you. Give us story ideas, let us know what's happening, and we'll take song requests as well. We're also starting a new feature here. You can have your friends and relations from back home email us letters to you, and we'll share them each evening on the air while you're out on the water.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries. 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. This week we're checking in with managers to see what they have to say about their districts. Before much fishing gets underway, we'll have a word from research staff as well, we hope, by the end of the week. Last night, Naknek Quijac's Travis Ellison joined. You can find that conversation online at kdlg.org if you missed it. Paul Solomon is on his way back to King Salmon. Tim Sands is upriver at a sport guide meeting. Matt Jones is setting up a tower in Aleknagik. So that leaves us a great chance to talk with Lisa Fox, the area management biologist for the South Alaska Peninsula and Aleutian Islands. Lisa, good to speak with you here. And let's see, your numbers have climbed steadily through the week, and you had a big bump on Monday. Can you run us through what the catch was?
Yeah, let's see. We have been open for a little while, and just recently we opened for the seine fleet. So there's a little bump in numbers just because the effort went up and because the seiners were out there fishing. And then yesterday was the last day of the most recent seine openings. That probably is a little bit of that bump in numbers, is that fish are being held and carried over, and then all the deliveries came in at once for Monday.
Okay. That's out of where, the South Unimak or the Shumigans?
Yeah, the June Shumigan Islands and South Unimak fishery was open until last night at 10 p.m. And let's see, 25,000 of the sockeye came out of the Shumigans, 67 came out of the South Unimak. And then within the South Unimak, we have broken out the Dolgoy Island area, and there were 20,000 sockeye that came out of that area.
Okay, so your sockeye catch through yesterday is now at 400,000. Where's that stand on sort of your 10-year average? Is it, are you looking pretty good at this point?
We're definitely looking pretty good. There was a little bit of extra fishery opportunity in the mainland this year early on, and so that bumps the numbers up a little bit. But yeah, it's definitely looking pretty good. Sockeye are coming in pretty strong, and then yeah, the pink salmon are just starting to pick up really heavily right now. Chum are still kind of cruising along where they should be, and ratio is looking pretty good. And then our Chinook catch is nice and low so far, which is good.
Okay. Let's talk about those pinks for just a moment. I think yesterday, or rather the Sunday catch, was a little bit over 100,000. Yesterday was 186,000. Is that normal for you on a pink year?
No, it's definitely early. Yeah, pinks are definitely coming in early, and I've got some sort of anecdotal reports that some of them are pretty good-sized pinks.
Anything to glean from that?
No, you know, I haven't made it down to the processing plant to go walk by and actually look at the fish and touch the fish yet, but if they are big fish, I think they have had some good feeding opportunity, I guess. These pinks are coming off of a winter year, 2013-14 winter year, and that winter was the warmest one on record. It was warmer than pretty much anything we've ever used for our forecast modeling. And we kind of were wondering if that warm temperature was going to be too warm for pink growth. But if we're getting a lot of pinks and they're coming back big and healthy, then maybe warmer is continuing to be better.
Okay, how are your sandpoy and set netters doing on the mainland? Looks like they're up around, is it 30,000 through the season now?
So the mainland had only a 48-hour opener, and then it's been closed. They've caught almost 30,000 sockeye, and then it's been closed since the 9th and probably will remain closed for a little while. We're waiting for Chignik to catch up a little bit. I think they closed this morning, and their escapement is still above their objectives, so they might be looking at doing more fishing around there. But I don't think there's been any announcement on that.
Okay. I know that you're on the these are Pacific side sockeye coming in, but what can you mention about the size of them? I know that's another thing that people are watching this season, is how big are the fish that are coming back?
Let's see. The average size, I mean, they're pretty average, 5.5 pounds. There's one day where there were some bigger fish, but it's pretty average size. I have also gotten some reports from fishermen that the size of the sockeye are kind of all over the place. It's a pretty mixed bag, that there's some really nice big fish and that there's some smaller ones coming back too. But again, I haven't gone down to the docks to check the bins yet.
Okay. Not being very familiar with your management plan or your harvest reports from seasons past, is there anything that you feel about this, that it's either early or late or on time?
It seems like it's a pretty good showing for the sockeye. It kind of was looking similar to 2013, but even a little bit more, and that might be because of the Southeastern District mainland bump. But the pinks are, that's pretty early. I have to go back and look at previous years, but I'm pretty sure that's kind of anomalous to have that many pinks this early.
Lisa Fox, the area management biologist for South Peninsula and Area M, thanks so much.
Yep, yeah, no problem. Have a good day.
We're catching a variety of opinions on when the Bristol Bay Run will show up. Now that a price has been posted, what else is there to mull over? Icicle's Warner Liu a few weeks ago said normal to late. This weekend I spoke with Eddie Clark from Naknek, who set nets in Igigik, who says otherwise.
You know, I'm probably the first one down there May 10th, May 15th every year, and getting camp ready. I put the sub net out, and I check water temp quite often every year. You know, my father wrote all kinds of info on the wall, and I'm always wondering why he did it. Now I see myself writing the info, but this year the water temp, the egg, the size of the egg, the color of the fish, the tint of them, how many I caught, what day I caught it, looks like 2014, totally different than 2015.
2015, you recall, was a week to 10 agonizing days late. 2014 had that wonderful two peaks and kept going and going, the eventual 41 million sockeye coming in 55% above the preseason forecast of 26.6 million. So what was our longtime set-netting friend Eddie Clark take away from his careful data collecting about this year?
I draw that it's going to be early, and probably a week early. Looks like to me just the water temp and how many fish that I've gotten early, you know. And the egg content is, it's not real small. They're getting ready early.
I couldn't help but ask what size the fish have been that Clark's been picking out of his nets in the Igigik River so far this season.
The first ones were averaging 4.3, and now they're all averaging over about 5.1 to 5.3. They're getting bigger.
Okay.
But the Igigik district's supposed to have a bunch of 3.2s, so. Like 47% of them.
Eddie Clark, thanks for offering your input here. We'll have manager Paul Solomon on the show tomorrow and see what he says about Igigik and Ugashik. If you'd like to offer thoughts for this program, reach us by phone or email. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Back in a moment.
Hi, Bob King here for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Bristol Bay fishermen have made strides in salmon quality over the years. The next step, chill the entire catch. Many fishermen are already. Some processors require it. Chilling systems can be expensive, but chilled fish are worth more. Got questions? Third-party financial and technical assistance is available. Call 439-3566. Our future is chilling. For the Bristol Bay RSDA, I'm Bob King. Good luck and good fishing.
Yesterday in our local news, we reported on cheap prices at a gas station attached to a new boatyard by Leader Creek in Naknek. Well, it seems that boatyard, owned by Dave Lax, is quickly becoming a hub of activity in the Naknek preseason, with a food tent called Uptown Dogs, a Chamai satellite clinic to open soon, and now wireless internet for the fishermen. Last month, KDLG's Hannah Colden spoke with the owner of the new Wi-Fi hotspot and brings us this report.
I'm going to walk around the yard and see how far it works. It'll cut out if we switch access points.
Larice Egley and I are standing in the middle of the boatyard watching a Katy Perry video on her phone.
Scared to rock the boat. Oh my God, I can't believe I picked that.
The internet for that video, she tells me, is coming from the top of the facilities building about 15 yards away.
Up there, you see that white box with the antennas? That's an access point for Wi-Fi, so we're actually broadcasting internet throughout the boatyard.
Egley is the owner-operator of Networks Portals. The idea behind it is simple. She says fishermen, processors, these seasonal residents all want to get on the internet sometimes to keep in touch with loved ones, to wrap up loose ends from school, maybe to Google how to fix a mechanical problem. But so far, Egley says, their options for getting online in Naknek have been limited.
There's free Wi-Fi over at the library. There's most of the processors, I believe, offer Wi-Fi, but they block a majority of high usage sites like YouTube, and you know, you can't really download music. But nobody else has the interest in providing internet based on what people are going to use, because they're all looking at the bottom line of what it costs to provide it.
In Egley's business model, you buy a certain amount of data, and it's good for a month. Her rates start at $35 for 1 gigabyte and go up to $340 for 20 gigs. She thinks her system can handle several dozen users at once. But figuring out how to build that capacity within a boatyard has been tricky.
You know, every one of these metal buildings creates interference. Every welder that's running creates interference. When these fans turn on, the refrigeration fans at all these processors, that creates interference. Every one of these boats is made out of metal. I mean, it's an interference nightmare. So it's, I'm really actually impressed with the problem solving that me and my communications crew have been able to do to mitigate that.
She explains the signal is set up in an arcing pattern. It shoots out over the top of the boats and comes down in an umbrella formation. So for the first time, and for a price, the fastest internet in the yard could be on the deck of a drift boat. Reporting in Naknek, I'm Hannah Colton.
That's just about it for tonight's show. The marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay tonight, west winds 15 knots, seas up to 3. Tomorrow, northwest 10 knots, seas at just a foot. From Port Hyde to Cape Sirichef, similarly calm. Tonight, variable winds to 15 knots, seas up to 3. Tomorrow, variable winds to 10, seas 2. A quick look at sports news. The Cleveland Cavaliers topped the Golden State Warriors 112-97 last night in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. LeBron James leading with 41. The teams head back to Cleveland for Game 6 Thursday night. Golden State up 3-2. Game 7, if necessary, back in Oakland. Top-ranked Chicago Cubs fell to the Washington Nationals 4-1 yesterday, Washington holding the Cubbies to just 2 hits. The Phillies shut out the Blue Jays, and the Reds topped the Braves 9-8. Power rankings for MLB show Cubs at the top, Red Sox steady at number 2, the Washington Nationals in 3rd, and the Seattle Mariners have climbed to 4th over the past month. We'll keep you updated. Reminder that you can support KDLG by becoming a sustaining member today. Your pledge of just $5 or $10 a month will go a long way to keeping this program and the rest of what we do here on the air. Pledge online at kdlg.org or give us a call at the station. It just takes a few minutes. Catch our replays of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report at 10 and 2 a.m. and find our shows archived online. I'm Dave Benninger. Keep in touch. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.